tits. It is Garo.
Yep, it's Garo.
Meteor Storm!
This is Superhero Time with XV.
If she can drink, she can throw up.
Hey, Mickey.
Cinco de Mayo is Spanish for May the Force be with you.
Paladin.
Who is up for Buster?
Ken.
Look, I might be off the medication.
And Fort Max.
You're drawing card to you.
Speaking of f***ing up, it's time for Superhero Time.
Hey.
Wait, before it is, I want to see a bunch of smash cuts between Bryan Cranston acting, cutting straight to Godzilla using atomic breath, back to Bryan Cranston acting, Godzilla smashing a tower, and just back and forth for like an hour and a half.
So you want Bryan Cranston to be the new Raymond Burr?
Yes.
I think that'd be good. That'd be great.
Okay, so we're starting late because reasons. So Paladin, the top three news items from the last week.
Did anyone pick up the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic?
No, we're not talking about that. Pick something else.
Yes, please, God.
Okay, Keek Hyder is coming to Blu-ray.
No, we're not talking about that. Pick something else.
It's a slow week, Dad.
Nobody cares about Keek Hyder. That's why they're making a new movie.
Wait, what?
Snap.
How it worked for Metal Heroes before.
All right, that's why we're not getting a double movie.
Damn it.
Oh, damn it. Okay, this is probably the only thing that happened that people will come close to caring about. Full images of Arms Change Duke.
It sure is Duke.
And they were smart enough to use Baron in the official images.
It sure is a retool of the Mango armor.
Yes, it's unfortunate they have to reuse the worst Arms Change fruit.
Well, didn't they reuse all of them across the, all the main ones across the...
Energy Riders, yeah.
Yeah. So that's not...
It's almost like they planned it.
Yeah, I know, right?
They could see their suit budget running out.
The only thing that would have been worse, I think, would have been making Lemon based on the Kiwi arms. Just because, you know, you'd have the stupid disc things still.
But if they're shaped a little differently, then maybe they'd work better. I don't know.
Well, they wouldn't be, though, because then they wouldn't work the same, would they?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They'd be lemon slices.
Well, at least Kiwi arms can stand up without toppling over.
This is true, and you can remove the discs and it looks okay. So maybe that would have been a better choice.
Yeah, I'm not really digging Duke's black tank top that he's wearing.
It's not like you'll see it all that much for the rest of the show.
It looks like a redneck Smurf.
Yeah, those black tank tops are pretty much on all the not Zangetsu Energy Riders.
Because they're the evil ones, so they have to wear black.
Not Zangetsu Energy Rider is evil.
Well, more on that next week. So yeah, that's all the news, and there probably won't be much next week either, because it's Golden Week.
Oh yes, the week when all of Japan stops.
I don't understand you, Japan.
Yeah, I don't really get how that can work either.
They close hospitals and shit too, I assume.
They close hospitals on the weekend, don't they?
We learned that during Go Busters.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Time to shut down the power plants.
Water treatment? Nope, everybody gotta go home.
Damn it, it's Go Busters now.
We're always gonna miss Go Busters.
And so is everyone watching Saban.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe it's for the best.
Okay, in one way, yes, because we don't have to see Saban mishandle one of our favorite series. On the other hand, we don't have, like, any hope of getting, like, a good GoBuster Ace figure.
Or a J. Or a J.
Can you imagine what the Zord Builder system would do to that?
I know, and all other reasons aside, I'm not going to be convinced that wasn't part of the decision not to pursue it. You know, I think it'd be hard to adapt the GoBuster mecha designs to the Zord Builder system and have it work in any meaningful way with everything that's come before it.
Even if they abandoned the whole universal jointing of the Zord Builder and just went for a simplified version, how the hell would you simplify that shit?
See, the best thing they could do probably is to just re-release Engino. Because it has the basic colors and...
Regular or Microzord?
Yes.
They should just edit GoBusters so when it's time for the Zord battle, they just cut to RPM footage.
Yeah.
Because honestly, who would say no to more RPM footage?
Because honestly, who would even remember RPM?
Anyone with taste.
Well, like half... Okay, yeah, in our fandom they would, but in general, no.
Because it didn't really air.
Yeah, half the episodes only ever aired one time. They did not even get reruns.
And now I'm sad again.
Good. I knew doing the podcast and that was a good idea.
Only 5 minutes in and you've already depressed Paladin. Good job.
Hmm.
Oh, come on. That's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Well, I guess that means it's time for Tokyo. You're in Paladin gets to do the first episode.
Nine. Go for it! Go!
Why no?
No, 9. Episode 9.
Oh,
I... okay.
Right?
But aha, puns.
Yes. Although it has nothing to do with Schwartz, and then the joke would have worked. No. But anyway.
Right is 1.
Oh, God. Can we move on?
Yeah, I'll throw the track switch. So, anyway, after the fight this week, they have to kick the Tokugers off the main line to do some maintenance. But they cannot fix Wright's brain to Ticket's distress. And probably the audience's, too. So they have to switch over to Rising Diesel for the time being.
How convenient!
Who Wright affectionately refers to as Grandpa, which... His personal Russia is a steam engine. Doesn't that predate Diesel by, like, 100 years?
Shh. Sentai. Shh. But, yeah, how convenient they just have another train laying around with extra parts. Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, the diesel engine smells like burning diesel.
I hope so.
That would be kind of vile, wouldn't it?
Although, they don't all get, like, covered in soot when they're on the regular one, do they?
No.
It's an electric steam engine.
Okay.
It has those things on the back that connect to the overhead lines.
God.
It's a nuclear steam engine.
This turned into a giant robot, so.
Yeah.
Now, in Japan,
spoilers.
Zords are solar powered.
Only in the one episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Okay. Or the, you know, one auxiliary lightspeed Zord.
Randomly.
That thing was terrible.
Well, it was the Max Solar Zord, so... You know, kind of needs to be solar.
Truth in advertising.
And it was the Max.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, it was the most Solar Zord you could get.
It was the maximum amount of Solar Zord allowed by law.
This Zord is filled with solar by weight, not volume.
Some settling of solar may occur.
So, with the Tokugers stopped for a day, Wright immediately enters himself and Mio in a contest to win a gigantic amount of food. But she immediately freaks out and gets them kicked off the contest because she doesn't want to touch him.
Well.
Which I can't really blame her for, you know?
No, I mean, really, I mean.
But he was their lunch leader. He was going to lead them to lunch. You stupid, nagging
and
leader.
And he failed. And then in come the crows once again. But before Mio can transform, she is saved by Ken.
What? Oh, that Ken.
The other Ken.
He,
the
really
dead mother Ken.
You don't really recognize him without the facial hair and the longer hair.
Yeah.
At first.
And the being a hobo.
Yeah, I had to kind of squint and like...
Or the dress.
Oh. Yeah.
You don't really recognize him when he's not being someone's dead mom.
Yeah. But thank God he was there to save the woman.
He does save her from the crow. Yes. Even though he saves her, he has to tell her, don't do anything crazy like being a girl, you know?
Oh my God. Chauvinistic asshole.
That's not the Geki Chopper I remember.
Okay, papa.
So Mio steals his wallet and fondles through it back on the diesel line. Which Wagon immediately sees is a sign that she must be in love with him. Which she wholeheartedly protests. And I don't really blame her for it.
He was better looking as Geki Chopper anyway.
And apparently he has a thing for damsels in distress because he beats up another murderer of crows.
Maybe he just hates crows.
I can't rule that out.
He probably just wants to steal their hats.
He doesn't really seem like the fedora type.
They're kind of nice hats.
He doesn't seem like the fedora type.
So, Mio dresses up in her samurai outfit and decides to bring him donuts.
Just like a good woman should. Bring food to your man.
While cosplaying Shinkinger. Are we sure this wasn't supposed to be a Kagura episode
instead?
It's a Tumblr episode.
Don't know. I think it would work okay with either one.
I don't know. If it was a Tumblr episode, it'd be too busy going on about how Mitchie's done nothing wrong.
No, that's the Gaim Tumblr episode. This is Tokyuger Fort Max. I can understand how you'd want to jump ahead, though.
Instead, it turns out Geki Chopper is under the control of the Shadow Line and stomps the hell out of Mio's gifts. And everything else from every girl who brings him stuff. So they can collect more dark energy.
And he is pissed stomping that bag, too. Like, dude.
Your donuts.
Donuts.
He's watched Wizard.
I like how the entire town is sexist, too.
Yeah.
It's
well,
Japan.
Japan, remember?
Yeah. We've entered Japantown.
But Mio ain't having none of that shit and kicks the shit out of the monster. And there was much rejoicing. So the monster attacks with puppets. And of course, the only Tokyo transfers in this episode are actually between the girls.
Because they're interchangeable?
Yeah. Way to stick with the moral there. And this week, the Imagination Bullet summons a gigantic donut that crushes the monster to death.
By donut, you mean rice ball, right?
Jelly donut.
I think we've been meaning rice ball the entire time. Because Pokemon jokes never die.
So when the monster grows giant size, conductor calls them up and says, "Hey, the other support rushes can form a Megazord on their own."
Oh, that's convenient to know.
We didn't tell you till this week because it wasn't in stores yet.
I wish that had been actual dialogue. It would have been fitting, actually. It would have sounded like Ticket.
Yeah. Let's just drop all pretense here, kids.
Diesel.
Okay, now
Diesel. Good God, if you thought Tokyo O was bad.
Okay, and that's weird, too, because, like, Diesel O, I don't mind the way it looks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Really? You don't like it?
Like suit
I do
or
not toy. Like it.
Suit or
I like
toy,
it.
I don't really mind it at all.
Like it
is an incredibly simple Megazord.
Oh, yeah, certainly, but I like it.
It's got a retro feel in all the right ways.
It is
just like
very
the head
classic
area.
Second Mecha in various ways.
I don't dislike all of it. I just really hate how the head transformation, all of that ends up. If he didn't have all that crap on the side of his head, I would like it better.
It reminds me sort of Gunburrow.
It does. But
I like Gunburrow.
Well, I like Gunburrow too, but he actually has a head, though.
The Go-Onger Megazords have a lot more personality than these.
Go-Onger had a lot more personality in every regard.
Go-Onger has a lot more personality than us.
Yes. Can we get the Go-Ongers to guest host 1 week?
Oh, that would be amazing.
So, end of the episode.
As a bonus, we'd have the Borgars, main character.
No, we need the Gyarok to guest host.
So, they win and transfer back to the main Tokyo because the repairs are finally complete by the end of the episode.
Well, that's convenient.
So, this wasn't that great, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was kind of hilarious in how embarrassingly sexist it was.
Yeah.
So it was Japanese, that's what you're saying.
No, it wasn't just regular Japanese. This is like they actively tried to make an episode about how women know your role and obey your man.
At the very least, Mio does kind of say F at the end.
And
but at that point, isn't there much kind of that done? Yeah.
And considering the person who wrote this, who
wrote it?
Kobayashi.
Yep.
Oh, she wrote this episode?
It's kind of... It doesn't feel very Kobayashi at all.
That's why I'm asking, are you sure it wasn't a filler writer, or was it Kobayashi?
Well, I don't think Fort Max actually saw her write it, so... It could have been someone else.
There are credits on these episodes.
Several other questions to ask.
Besides, she could have wrote the script all she wanted to. There's still, like, an editor and all that has to go through. Sure. Uncredited rewrites. Ever heard of it?
Even if Mio did decide, you know, f*** the shit at the end, that's kind of the equivalent of, like, telling racist jokes all evening and then again saying, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not trying
it
to defend
it. Works that way.
I'm just trying to defend it at all. I'm just saying, at the very least, yeah.
I miss the 90s.
It was a totally different time.
Well, no, but I mean, like, watch Mega Ranger and look at all the focus episodes Yellow gets there. Which are completely different in portrayal than this or most any female Ranger focus episode in the last 5 years.
The weird thing,
but yellow focus episodes for some reason.
The weird thing is, of course, you know, Kobayashi is a female writer, but then you look at some of Yoko's focus episodes also are all about suddenly she's.
We can't afford to have her get dumber.
No. In most episodes, she is competent. She knows what she's doing. She's as strong as Hiromu or Ryuji most of the time. But then when they focus on her...
Yeah, she loses her goddamn mind.
Yeah, they focus on, like, her... Kobayashi focuses on her femininity... in fact, she's a girl.
Her girl parts.
Yeah, a lot... In a way that seems strangely out of character for Yoko.
Yeah, I'll agree to that.
Because like the wedding episode or the episode with the actress and whatnot, and it's really kind of odd when you compare it to say like Arakawa and an episode about Aim, whose parents got murdered, so she wants to kill the f*** out of the guy who did it.
Yeah,
go Kyger.
Oh, yeah.
God. It's just the first thing that sprung to mind.
Right.
So the theme tonight is what series do you miss the most?
Apparently. And I guess it's basically all of them.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and bring up Gekki Ranger, like when Retsu gets drunk and punches bitches.
Yeah, that was a great female empowerment episode.
It's the only episode of Tokyuger I haven't really dug, so, you know. For a 50-episode series, that's not bad.
Give it time still, though?
Yeah, I guess.
That was only episode no.
But don't say no.
Just Live More. But we have another Tokyuger episode first.
Oh, right. Damn.
And that's
much better.
And that's Mickey's cue.
All right, so this episode 10... We join the episode with, they've left Takati behind. They claim it's for training, but really they were just tired of his shit and left him.
That sounds about right.
Mio helpfully asks the question, what happens if we leave the next station before he catches up with us? And they're like,
helpfully. So?
What if?
Oh, he's the old one already. It's not like he's good for much.
So as Takati jogs on the countryside in his, leg warmers or tights or whatever the f*** they are beneath the shorts.
Seriously, again, what the f***?
He stops to take a moment to completely spaz the shit out in front of this kid throwing up into a baseball hat. Because he sees the train and he's waving like a madman, like he sees Fort Max at BotCon. Unfortunately, the kid cannot see him or the train or Fort Max. I don't know. Probably can't see either of them. Because this kid has no imagination, because he's dead on the inside.
He knows what show he's in.
So he's wondering what the fuck is this doofus about? As Takati races off into the sunset. Meanwhile, back at the villainous Castle Darkenstein, Lady Bichia is showing off this fantastic new rainbow white fabric she's going to make a wedding dress out of for Gritta. And Schwartz is like, don't you think that's the wrong color to please the dark black majesty lord, whatever his name is, Emperor Darkness?
Nobunaga?
So he's basically like, calling her daughter a slut, isn't he?
It's white. I mean, he likes darkness. And she's like, shut the fuck up, go away. Meanwhile, Gritta continues to stress that she's in an arranged marriage and she's in love with another man.
Oh, gee, I hadn't picked up on that.
Ah, but then we get to meet the best character of the series yet, the typewriter monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You realize most of the target audience are saying when they watch this, what the f*** is a typewriter?
It's that thing your grandparents have.
It has dust all over it, but it's there.
It's this thing I still have to use to type in death certificates because they're terrible. And computers don't like tiny boxes.
But couldn't that all be avoided if there was just like a PDF form that you fill in all the information to and then just print
yes,
out whole?
Yes, the XV. We live in Tennessee.
Yeah, we live in Tennessee. It's not like there's fun publications.
Oh. Oh. Ooh. Good job.
Let's see, where are we?
Not
Japan.
Texas, man.
Fun Publication is the sole provider of G.I. Joe action figures. We are
very hateful, spiteful people, aren't we?
We are.
So, back on the Tokyo Express, Wright and the gang are playing what appears to be an Edo period pinball game.
With Ticket all over it.
And Ticket's eyes look cracked the hell out.
So
some
like,
shit that would like haunt your dream.
So
the difference
like,
being,
so it's like Ticket.
Yes,
so it's, like Ticket. It's accurate.
The only problem with it is that it's not constantly making smart remarks back at you.
That's because
it mock you while you play.
That's because it's an antique. It's not like it's an electronic pinball thing, or it would.
That's your high score. So, the darkness alarm goes off, and find out that the villains are attacking the next town they're going to. But they realize, you know, we'll be there in plenty of time. It'll be fine, and Takati will catch up eventually, or not. Who cares?
We got a sixth ranger coming soon.
We have a spare.
So the team arrives on time, and the crows start their attack, and then Typewriter Monster delivers his special ability attack, okay?
His special ability is to be that monster, that movie monster from Time Ranger, apparently.
His special power is Shinkanger, but with a typewriter.
His special power is to create fanfic. That's canon.
Oh, so this is the Tumblr episode.
Yes. So, he banishes Tokyo to outer space. Or the trains, whatever you call them when they're just in train form.
The robot train. Road.
Expresses?
Is it Tokyo Russia then? Or
no, Russia's is just Express.
Either
Express. So I guess Tokyo Express would be the right term.
Either
the
way,
Rainbow Line.
Either
Rainbow
way,
Line.
Farewell Tokyo Express 39.
Yes, very nice.
Oh, wow. That's... I'm surprised that reference has not been made yet, actually.
Wasn't it on Overtime's release?
Well, I mean, I'm here.
Oh.
Most,
I didn't think...
Sure we haven't done that before?
I didn't think any of your assholes were classy enough to have watched Galaxy Express 39.
Oh, gee, thanks.
I've seen that at anime conventions.
It's all
like,
crunchy
anime conventions are the only place to watch anime.
Clearly.
Clearly.
Like when anime was sold on VHS for $60 a tape.
No, it's just
hey, you
on
got
DVD
two episodes.
For $60 a disc.
Subtitled.
Well, that's similar to how Foolie Cooley was released on DVD.
That, and aside, that, I never got that. So for some reason, the dubbed episodes on VHS were always cheaper than the subbed episodes.
Well, that's how you knew subtitles were superior.
What the hell was that about?
That's how you knew subtitles were superior.
But why was it $30 to the point? More money had to be put into the dub. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know about that. I've heard some of those dubs.
It might
have cost less to redub them.
No, it does. It does make sense because the subtitle only thing would be perceived as appealing to a narrower field of buyers, so it's going to be a higher price to make
and
up.
And it's not like you could do both.
True.
It's impossible.
The subtitle thing is like a premium for people who specifically want to hear the original Japanese dialogue in the supposedly most accurate translation possible.
That was still a bullshit excuse.
They want to hear voice acting that doesn't sound like nails on a chalkboard done by the same three actors.
Mm. But enough about us.
That's why.
Okay, where were we? Oh, yes. Takati shows up and gets sentenced to death by the typewriter monster. Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Nobody seems worried about it.
No, except for Takati.
Yeah, Takati goes into full
Rider
One pose.
He's the Joe, remember?
Don't call him Joe.
So, Monster runs off, and the rest of the team goes to go hunt him down, and they leave Blue behind to die quietly, alone.
We're gonna need another Timmy!
So, Blue makes best use of his time by hanging out with Imaginationless Kid, who confesses to him that, I suck at sports. Therefore, I died on the inside.
Oh, that's fine. He's about to die on the outside, so...
So, this is where Takati should introduce him to Warcraft, where everyone who sucks at sports goes to die.
Waste away.
But no, he starts to give him an uplifting speech and then realizes, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that because that wouldn't convince you because I should be doing
that. Because I suck.
And what the f*** is the exercise he's trying to do? It's like he's having a seizure, more or less. But,
he's being Takati.
Well, yeah.
Would you expect him, his exercise to look any different?
He's also a 5-year-old trying to plan his own exercise program.
I do really like how they take the trope of, you know, here's the kid who doesn't believe in himself, then the ranger gives him an uplifting speech, and he does. In the middle of the speech, he decides, you know what, this isn't going to work, and plus, I need to be paying attention to the monster that's going to kill everyone. Bye. I've got better things to do than worry about your trifling sports problems.
Even Takati realizes how incompetent he seems.
Well, it's just baseball. Who cares?
Apparently, Japan. How many times have they had baseball monsters?
The yawning is the correct response to baseball, so...
Blah, blah, baseball.
Yeah. Baseball's blah, only blah. Interesting when it involves Colonel Sanders statues being thrown in rivers.
What? No, don't explain. I don't want to know.
No, just continue.
So, they've applied a filter to the lens now, so you know the sun is setting.
Is it a filter, or did they just shift the colors in post?
Either way.
You've seen Akiba Ranger. You know how they do it.
Yeah.
It's time for Takati to die. So as the sun sets, it sets on his life. And Takati dies. And the team doesn't seem that broken up about it. I mean, they rush over there, but it seems more like out of duty than actual emotion.
Well,
it's like,
yeah,
oh no,
Takati,
someone grab his morpher.
Somebody grab his engine.
Dibs on his lunch.
Well, he would.
He is the lunch leader.
Can Tokyo 6 be their loss leader?
Oh. That was perfect. So, as quickly as he died, someone uses a phoenix down, and he's risen from the grave. Rejoice.
Yay!
Takati is now the new Ranger Jesus. So, Takati immediately gets a bunch of stupid tattoos and corrupting fan poles, and reveals how to get back to life.
You know, the weird thing is, like, I don't hate Takati, but I don't mind it when horrible things happen to him.
He's a fantastic punching bag, like Paladin.
He really is. Oh my god.
Okay, so I'm
one of us should be insulted by that.
I'm curious about
something. It's probably Takati.
I'm curious about something though. When did we graduate from Fort Max to Ken to now Paladin being the punching bag?
I'm not sure.
Because Fort Max stopped reacting to it.
Okay. I think we shifted to Paladin when the train punch started.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that was the point. That was the turning point.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Tokuger.
That's where the switch occurred.
No, I already used that one.
It's not like there's a lot of different ways to say that the train changed tracks.
Anyway.
Okay. So, how did Takati come back from the dead?
In the most obvious way possible.
Before the sunset.
Let's see this. Let's watch it again.
Yes. Thank you, Ginta.
It takes 20th of a second for Takati
to rewrite his own death.
Let's see that again.
Yeah, I actually like how they resolved that.
It's so obvious, though.
It's obvious, yes, but I liked it.
Of course, it's also
obvious
one of the smarter.
Good.
It's also one of the smarter things they've done. They've been getting smarter the last few episodes, but still, it stands out.
It is up there with the whack-a-mole.
Well, I was thinking too of the color change and covering the number up. That's actually kind of clever writing.
Mm-hmm. This is the sort of thing that you see it coming from a mile away, but you'll be incredibly disappointed if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Unless they find a better way to do it that you don't expect.
Yeah.
It actually surprised me, though. Because I was expecting something much dumber, like he imagined himself coming back to life after he died.
Yeah, this is actually
this actually made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
He uses the own monster's powers against him.
I would also have accepted just dumping a bunch of whiteout on Takati.
Oh, see, now I'm disappointed.
No, now see, they needed to introduce a white support train like the previous episode, and then just equip that onto him to turn him white. That, you know, the whiteout train.
That's racist.
It's Japan.
Sexist and racist.
Yeah.
Sexy and racy.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So, they pull out the big gun thing, whatever, the Gokai Galleon.
That's what I was thinking of.
Super Highway Buster.
Yes, thank you.
The railway buster.
The monster, make him big, so some of the trains in, oh shit, they're in space.
Oh wait, we have new trains, in stores now.
Buy my train.
So, Diesel O, whatever he's called.
Diesel O.
Yeah.
Diesel-O.
Oh.
You got it perfectly right in the first try.
Well, I still slipped in the F-bomb anyway, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
It. He gets all assembled and shit, and punches the monster's buttons, and summons Tokyo back to Earth. And Caboose has an orgasm upon re-entering the atmosphere.
Hot.
I don't think that's hard to do.
You'd be surprised.
This is Wagon we're talking about.
Of course, the thing is, Diesel punching its buttons looks kind of strangely erotic.
Sounds erotic, too.
You finished the big red button.
I know. Like, it has it from behind, and, you know, his hands are all over it, and...
Uh-huh.
I like where this is going.
Then it's a giant robot and a monster, and it's in the middle of a factory, and they're big, and, you know, it's kind of awkward.
So, now it's time for the rare beast of a nighttime mecha fight in Sentai.
Woo!
And it's kind of awesome.
Yeah,
because we get spotlights moving around, and the Zord suits are all lit up where all the lights and the eyes are at.
And then suddenly there's a building out of nowhere.
Well,
that's not important, Fort Max.
It's Japan. They do that shit.
Yeah, as fast as the buildings get knocked down there, they're going to be just as fast building them back up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're the the foam things you soak overnight and they grow, you know, 100 times the original size. You know, every night after there's a fight, they just set a few of those out and water them, and the next day the building's back.
What would happen if you swallowed one of those?
They probably advise you not to do that.
They probably do, but you admit it, you're curious too.
Last time that happened was
when you were eight?
When Jetman had house dimension.
I think Fort Max.
The apartment building monster?
Yeah.
I think Fort Max may have missed the point.
Really?
But that was still a really weird episode. Even by Jetman standards.
You know, they probably have to make those foam things where, like, your stomach acid will break them down fast enough that they won't expand.
Maybe
and form
they
a
blockage. Just make the foam thingies full of those little rare earth magnets.
Be perfect.
All right, so monster blows up with a double blow of a sword slash and a spinning rider kick, and the episode ends with Tokyo pulling away and the kid waving like a madman because he can see the train now. And for a split second, we freeze on his hand, and it's covered in sores. Which
so
I don't
what
understand.
Exactly was
really freaky.
I think that was supposed to show how he was working really hard.
At what?
I mean, it looked like he had like
baseball,
like baseball syphilis, or like the plague, or something. I don't know. It was alarming. He should see a doctor. And then he continues to practice his awful swing as the credits start to roll. And, God, his swing does really suck. There's no wonder he missed that ball.
Yeah.
Baseball syphilis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he could be playing T-ball and still miss with that swing.
Yeah.
So, next week, the Emperor of Darkness appears.
Will he be a scary rubber monster? Or will he be a pimp-ass slick that looking guy? I think we know.
That's not exactly how I would describe Nobunaga.
Yep, it is. Nobunaga was a pimp.
No, I'm talking War Core Nobunaga.
How many Nobunagas do we know anyway?
Well, Nobunaga Oda, Nobunaga Smith, Nobunaga Jones.
And there's also Nobunaga, which gets a little confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, it's why he usually goes by Dave. It's his middle name, David. Nobunaga D. Nobunaga.
Nice.
Okay, so game time. Alright, so last week, we left off on Michi shooting Kota in the undersuit. Now, Kota's fallen unconscious and his transformation broke, and Michi's getting ready to deliver the killing shot at a range even he can't miss from.
What, but he has the gun inside Kota?
In the undersuit. But Kaito intervenes. He acknowledges that whatever shit's going down between the two of them doesn't really matter to him. And
he's a nuisance. They're not enemies.
And Michi tries to maneuver Kaito into finishing Kota off instead, because he was kind of squirming under the pressure there himself.
Yeah.
But Kaito's
always squirming under the pressure.
Kaito's only real enemy is the one who would shoot the strong in the back, and he forces Michi to run away.
And of course, this mentions that he is now absolutely acknowledging Kota as strong.
Yeah.
I do like how it shows you just how weak Ryugen is, that he's able to beat him down with only, like, two hits and a kick off a cliff.
Although he is also using an energy lock seed, so that...
Yeah, but still...
If he was still just Banana Baron, I think it would have been more drawn out.
Oh, also, Ryugen's always pretty much the one who will run away at the first opportunity.
Yeah.
So I don't think...
That's why he uses a gun. He gets to stay... He can stay further away.
At least that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch doesn't quite.
Kaito acknowledges Kota as a strong person, but not at the moment Kaito can hear him. Or Kota can hear him.
It's like whispering, I love you in your sleep.
Yeah, that's about right.
Or, you know, after you choked him into unconsciousness, whatever.
But then what he does with Kota is kind of great.
Yeah, so Kota wakes up and falls out of a tree. Because Kaito has taken him to relative safety out of the reach of the rookie invests.
And covered him with branches.
Never mind the fact that when he wakes up, he's going to roll out and hit the ground hard.
Yeah. Not like
oh, how could Kaito have seen that coming?
Yeah, it's really.
Not like, it's not like Kaito was just shot in the back or anything. Oh.
Oh.
I mean, he doesn't want to give him the medical attention or anything.
Meanwhile, Michi's back at the garage, and Mai wants to make sure he made up with Kota.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
She says Michi's explosion before wasn't really like him, and Michi starts trying to get her to tell him what he's actually like.
Settle, Michi.
Because I don't even think he knows at this point.
No, he doesn't. Because basically, from the beginning of the series till now, everything he thought about himself has basically fallen apart completely. But then, a shower.
Butts.
Blurred over butts, but yeah.
Steamed over.
Sexy butts.
Actually, no, I think they actually had to blur that over in post-production.
Unfortunately, this is not anime that, and it's so it's not going to be uncensored in the Blu-rays.
Oh well.
See, now I can't compare his ass with Kirihiko's ass. I mean, Ryoma obviously thinks he's got it going on, but I want to be the judge of that myself.
So the shower leads to a flashback to testing the Sengoku driver in Takatora, which fails quite violently. Takatora...
On what? A shirtless Takatora.
Yes, leaving a shirtless Takatora injured and scarred.
I was wondering if you would mention that.
With Ryoma rushing to his side. Speaking of, Ryoma is looking over development records in his lobby office, the list of which includes versions of the driver designed with all the belt gimmicks since Kiva.
Which is a very nice touch for the observant fans with the monitors.
So is it Drastial Foundation X?
Maybe they're related?
Huh.
I wouldn't rule that out.
In a world of writing that still acknowledges Foundation X being a thing, I would not be surprised to see Yggdrasil rolled in as one of their supporters.
Yeah, that's true. Like Gamma was.
Well, and wasn't the Kogami Foundation originally supposed to be involved, and they kind of just dropped that?
Because apparently Kogami had enough of his own money that he didn't need them.
Yeah, it's more like
And they got tired of getting cakes every day.
Who would grow tired of that?
I'm kind of disappointed they did not do like a line art for at least one of the prototype belts using the Gaia memories or even Kiva's whistle things. You know, it wouldn't have been much to do. Certainly not like making the prop.
See, and I'm imagining like you should have a Gaia memory in the center, then the knife plate comes in and chops it in half.
Ryoma then begins flashing back to attending to Takatora at his bedside, encouraging him to rest and heal so he can be back on the job soon, and taking the blame himself for Takatora's injuries.
By the way, is it just a complete coincidence that Takatora's scarred shoulder is the one completely covered with armor when he transforms to Shin Zangetsu?
Probably. Huh.
Well, in universe, I would say so. In terms of, you know, thematic imagery, no, probably not.
They probably chose that shoulder.
And
on
plus,
purpose
remember,
after.
This is a guy. Who designed the things.
Yeah,
yeah.
But also, all of the energy riders have asymmetrical shoulder armor, don't they?
Yeah.
Duke.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, Takatora's is most prominent, really.
It is.
Also, in the scene, as Ryoma sits down. Grasps his knee. He is glancing squarely at Takatora's crotch. And Takatora sticks his right arm underneath the cover in his lap.
Anyway, Ryoma is getting the idea about Helheim already at this point in the past, and seems to be trying to steer things so Takatora is the one who's able to evolve and lead the new world. But Takatora's priority is driver production to save as many people as possible instead. Which kind of pisses Ryoma off pretty well. So, back in the present, Takatora comes visiting, and he and Ryoma discuss Project Arc. Takatora wants to find a way to make more belts, but Ryoma says, hey, no, that's impossible.
He cuts him off too. He starts to say, "Can we?" No.
No.
1 billion.
Definitely not.
No more, no less.
I like to actually explain why they can't do any more. It's because it needs a rare metal to do.
Gundanium. I mean, adamantium.
Vibranium.
Yeah, sure.
In Helheim, Kota is proving Ryoma's claims by living off the energy of low-level lock seeds and the driver, rather than eating all the food he carried with him and that Kaito didn't steal. And hey, here comes Bravo. He's about to eat some fruit himself, but his survival training saves him. He doesn't have to get shot out of his hand like Wright.
Okay, now how does he pick up the fruit without it changing into a lock seed? He's got a driver.
He's not wearing his belt.
I thought you didn't have to be wearing it. I thought you had to be, like,
no, because the other time Mitchie took his driver off
and
picked
then when
the fruit.
And when he picked the fruit, it still stayed a fruit.
You have to actually be, okay. Like, the driver has to be activated on you to make the fruit change into a lock seed.
Okay.
So that part's consistent. Kota catches up to him and wonders why he's there in the first place. It couldn't possibly be because he just blindly jumped through a crack he found one day. Kota offers him some food, but Bravo thinks he's just trying to buy his services, so Kota decides to leave and not give him anything. Elsewhere, the Red Overlord is attacking an Yggdrasil team, looking for Baron. He's still kind of pissed about that arrow wound deal. The Green Overlord, though, is a bit more interested in the Sengoku driver one of the murdered hazmat dudes has.
It's a modified driver. It doesn't have the sword bit.
Or it's just broken.
Well, either
still, that's,
way...
That's probably not going to end well.
No, I wouldn't think so. Ryoma explains that besides any other factor, the belt production's limited because they have necessary materials that are too rare. But they're cut off as the alarm sounds, and Ryoma gets base camp up on Skype. One vital sign's already been lost, and the guard detail's moving to respond, but their certain deaths can only buy a few extra moments. Takatora leaves at once to back them up, and Sid and Minato appear from somewhere, worried about an overlord making itself known. Kota wants to send Bravo back through Yggdrasil's crack. And Bravo is very excited that he might get to see his beloved Melon again.
Now, couldn't Kota have, solved this a minute after he met Bravo? He still has the Tulip Hopper lock seed, right? And those can open cracks.
Well, by the same token, Kota could have got himself out of Helheim with, the motorcycle. Which motorcycle is his?
Sakura
Hurricane.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to get out. He's looking for the overlords.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, he couldn't even have told Bravo that if you put on your belt, you can use the seeds for energy.
That probably would have been too helpful.
Yeah, considering Orin tries to strangle him at least once here. Trying to steal...
Yeah, Bravo thinks Kota has something going on with Zangetsu, but he just narrowly avoided from strangling Kota to death by the sounds of the Yggdrasil massacre.
Yes.
So they both suit up and go off to fight. At the base camp, Takatora meets the Red Overlord as he's trying to buy time for the crew to escape. And Bravo's delighted to find Takatora laying on the ground.
Yeah.
But Takatora orders him to help guard the camp before running off to help Kota. Now,
this time they actually do team up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real this time. Kota explains the basics of the situation, including how the overlords could help save Earth, which kind of gets Takatora interested. But the overlord hears him and declares that all the apes are going to die, nothing like his species, which has no name except in Fruit Grungi. Kota wants Takatora to stop fighting him, but Takatora has a plan. Now, this isn't like a Mitchie plan, so this might actually work. Takatora has a plan to just wear the Overlord down, and then maybe they can capture it and talk to it later. When it's not murdering them.
That's actually not a bad plan.
No, good plan. Good plan, but all they do really is make him more mad, and the Overlord turns the trees against the Riders.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm noticing how the Overlord wears a cape, and I like that he has the presence of mind to have style. in their tree apocalypse worlds.
Yeah.
Well, it keeps you warm in those cold forest nights. Keeps the wind off. So the survivors of the base camp are successfully evacuated, all three or four of them. And Bravo...
all three Kurkagas.
And, yeah, how did that many survive? And Bravo catches up to Zangetsu just in time to take a hit meant for him, and he's at peace as he lays dying in Takatora's arms. Well, not really, but that's not important right now. Because a new overlord, some distance away, uses psychic on the red overlord, forcing him to stop battling due to confusion. And he has to run away. Takatora chucks Orin through the crack.
And right into the screen, too.
Which cracks. And he and Kota pursue the overlord. Ryoma and company are watching, and concerned about if they should, you know, maybe manage to catch that overlord and talk to it any. Takatora is bothered about how poorly first contact has gone so far. Maybe we shouldn't tell him about what Kaito's been up to.
Yeah.
But hey, Kota's still optimistic, and takes the time to thank Takatora for believing what he said. And Takatora finally introduces himself, at least by his given name. And he
I noticed that. I was like, oh, you assholes.
And he and Kota shake hands and become buddies. Right in time to spot the Overlord and have Cid arrive to kill Kota.
Yeah, again in the back. Kota started the episode with getting shot in the back. Now he ends the episode with getting stabbed in the back.
Takatora tries to order him off, but Cid resists, and Takatora has to hold him back and send Kota after the Overlord alone. Meanwhile, Ryoma reflects how it's time for Takatora to take a nice long rest.
Oh.
That's not ominous, is it?
Not at all.
Not in the least.
Well, he's probably very tired from all this action.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, the scars on his shoulder probably still hurt, too.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He's probably got some chronic shoulder pain going on from that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to give him a few weeks off.
Maybe some prescription strength ibuprofen.
Maybe, like, yeah. Yeah.
Send him to a nice spa upstate.
We can run and play with all the other Takatoras.
Yeah.
One day away from retirement.
Oh.
We're not really telegraphing anything the preview hasn't already spoiled anyway.
Or this episode itself hasn't telegraphed.
Yeah.
Or the entire series.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I have not seen 28 yet, but
It's okay. There's nothing you didn't see in the preview.
Gotcha.
This would be a great point to mention you didn't watch the preview either.
No, I saw the preview.
Yeah.
It's a Toei preview.
It is. Ultra Magnus dies.
Leomon dies.
Leomon always dies.
You put that in a preview? It's like every episode.
I know.
Well, you know, it took a while in Savers.
And no, Fort Max has given us a 4chan
link. They might as well put Leomon dying in the opening.
Mind you, Savers made up for it by having two of them die, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then Cross Wars did it in episode 3, so... Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Gaim.
That was Gaim.
It sure was a Gaim.
And that was awesome.
That sure was a guy.
Yep.
How can they make it better? Tune in next week to find out.
That is Gaim pretty much every week.
Yeah.
And every 6 weeks, it's everything you know is wrong.
Only every 6 weeks?
How long has it been since the last story arc started? Like 9 episodes as of the episode that aired this past weekend?
When did the next second? We are in the second story arc, right?
I thought we were in the third, actually. Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be the third story arc.
Third. So they didn't really have a clean cutoff point like the first one because there wasn't a break.
What's the second one?
The second one started at like 12.
With the energy riders.
Like 12 to 20, I think.
Ish.
Okay, alright.
I guess a good cutoff point would be either when Kachidoki appears or when Kota learns about certain things.
But the next episode feels a lot like the end or near end of the current arc, where it's all gonna, We're it feels like we're getting close to the everything you know is wrong bit again. So.
Oh, okay.
We're kind of at that point already again. So yeah, Gaim is always excellent. I would say
ruining everything for us after this show ends.
Well, I was gonna say, you know,
probably it, so. Yes,
I was gonna say it's gonna be like the writer equivalent of GoBusters, except they probably will make another series like this afterward.
Because this is so successful.
Yeah.
But the question is, will that be successful creatively like GoBusters was after Gokaiger, if not financially? Or will it end up like O's, which tried to copy the f*** out of Double, and, well, we saw what happened with O's.
Except I don't really get the sense that... I mean, how could you really directly copy Gaim? You know, I mean, you can... I think it's
probably,
more...
I think we'll see another multi-writer show. Either we'll see another multi-writer show, or they'll really pull it back like Double did.
I think we're going to see another multi-writer show, and it's still going to stay away from the, like... rigidly structured two-episode story arc style. Yeah. You know.
That seems to be the biggest thing working in Gaim's favor right now.
Yeah, because it's telling a lot more coherent long-term story because it's not having to break everything down into hour-long segments.
And
it's not forcing us to do exposition for new characters every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
One thing I do hope also is... because there's not victims of the week and so forth. Mm-hmm. One thing I do hope is that they take a note of what they did with Gaim, and they reach outside their normal pool of writers.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see them start to do this, but then throw Yonemura at it and give us Kabuto again.
Or Inoue.
Yeah.
I mean,
giving
if they can...
Kabuto again isn't much of a... isn't all that bad.
If they can get Inoue to do another Agito-level series, that wouldn't be bad.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. That's why I don't That's why I don't want them to even try. I'm just saying, you know, it's vaguely possible, but I'm not going to bank on it.
Kamen Rider, as written by Gail Simone.
Kamen Rider is written by James Roberts.
Ooh, don't.
It's okay. He's not deep enough into it for that to ever work.
Kamen Rider is written by Michael Crichton.
Kamen Rider by Michael Bay.
He's dead, you know.
That doesn't stop people from releasing new works.
Just a Tupac.
Gene Roddenberry's Kamen Rider.
J.R.R. Tolkien's Kamen Rider.
Jane Austen presents Kamen Rider.
Kamen Rider, a William Shakespeare joint.
Kamen Rider, Old Testament.
Okay, I guess that's as far back as we can go.
Kamen Rider, The Odyssey? But yeah, I'm pretty much out after that one. So let's take a break and watch an episode of The Best Thing Ever.
More game?
Close! Close.
Launcher.
It's the same number of letters as Gaim, and it also starts with a G.
Hey, what do you know?
We'll be back with Power Playback.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Now I've got the power to deal with you buddies!
Space Suit is your rap guard against danger! Space Suit you with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
Get your hands on Space Shooters! Launch up to 20 soft bomb bits!
Space Shooters!
I win!
Get your hands on Space Shooters!
And now back to action with Superhero Time!
Originally last week we talked about doing episodes 1 and 2 of Son of Garo for Power Playback because, you know, start with the beginning of a series and, you know, being a normal Garo, it's a little bit of a slow start.
But then episode 4 happened.
Yes, then episode 4 happened, and it was the most amazing thing I've watched in quite some time. Keeping in mind that I watch Gaim on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So I decided that, no, we have to do episode 4 instead. There's just no other way to do this.
And that's about right. Just kind of squint your eyes, pretend we've been covering it all along, and this would be the episode we'd be covering this week anyway.
It would.
I think this
it?
Is one of the smartest decisions we've made in possibly ever.
It's the best. It's the best Power Playback choice I've made in years.
Yes.
And you
it
know,
it is the anti Armor Heroes.
Although yeah. the English dub of Armor Heroes is up on YouTube, the whole first season, the first no. series is complete, and they're working on getting the second series up now too.
That's good for them.
Is it really dub bad?
Bless their hearts.
I wish it was Headmaster dub bad, Fort Max.
That's probably the only way of saving the series.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I did look at a little bit of episode 3 when I first noticed these dubs going up, and stuff actually happened in the first few minutes.
Lie. I call bullshit.
bad when both me and Fort Max had a similar reaction. I was like, no.
There was like suit action and everything. Well, it's on YouTube. It doesn't really take any effort to go see.
Are you sure it wasn't a recap from the last episode?
That's still too much effort.
How could it be a recap from the previous episode? There was no action in the first two episodes. The only thing that happened in the first two episodes was somebody eating a bologna sandwich and calling it a hamburger. Because China. Yeah, that was Armor Hero.
Garo Hero?
No, Garo can't possibly suck that bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ken, Garo!
Yeah! Garo!
No, that's not really like that this time.
No, it's not. It's not the start, and we don't get the where there is light intro this time. But what we do get...
RKO Pictures presents.
Yes, basically. a straight-up take on an old classic zombie movie intro for the... all in English for the opening of the episode. And starting the actual episode, we are joined by the cafe guy from Kuga.
Yes, the guy from Kuga that nobody remembers.
I remembered him.
I did too, eventually. Like, I did before the episode ended, I remembered who he was. So,
he's the one with the Funyuns?
No. He is our focus of this episode.
He's our victim.
Yeah.
He's the horror victim.
Yeah, anyway, he works at a theater. He loves movies, old film. And he's setting up a, old-school horror marathon while his asshole manager is, being an asshole. Wanting to know why he ever...
Being a manager.
Why is he into this stupid shit and, why not something more artistic?
Oh, and by the way, we're paving this over and turning it into a manga cafe next week.
Yeah, but you still want a job?
Well, it's nice of him to let him, have some kind of job in the new cafe.
Well, yeah, although it's very patronizingly. But he takes it very poorly, and he, starts trying to beat the shit out of the guy until he gets, tossed over into the film reels. And knocks them over, which probably ruins some of that film. And promptly gets fired. But that's okay. And all his anger and, hatred, he hears a voice. And that's always a good sign, Garo.
Or in real life.
Any time, place.
If you're really angry and you start hearing a voice, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you start hearing a voice that says, kill them. Although, of note, also, all of the posters around here are of naked women. So this is probably not really your average theater.
No, it probably is.
No, it's a porn theater.
It's some kind of theater.
That's my average theater.
No. It's an artsy theater.
Yeah, sure.
That's a classy word for it.
Anyhow, asshole manager notices that the film's suddenly running for some reason, and he goes in and see a knockoff of a George Romero movie playing. And then, projector guy creepily appears behind him and is like, oh, by the way, she's you. And all of a sudden, he's in the movie.
Dum, dum, dum.
With yellow subtitles, thank you, Overtime.
I love that part.
Yellow subtitles are the best color for subtitles.
Yes.
I actually won't disagree with that.
When I watched Gundam X fan sub for the first time, it had bright yellow subtitles, and I was just like, yes. Yes.
This is the 90s.
It is. It's really suitable for the situation.
So anyway, asshole manager is trying to run away until he gets his leg grabbed by an arm sticking up out of the dirt. And it turns out to be a zombie. A very, actually kind of detailed zombie. You can tell that Amamiya is having fun with this episode.
Yeah, you can.
Which is a notable point. Makai no Hana marks series creator Keita Amamiya's return to Garo. And you can definitely tell in this episode.
Yeah.
Regardless.
It's like he was saving up his Garo load for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And he just basically let it all out on this.
Yeah, that last episode
just coded it.
That last episode of Pai Senki kind of spent him. Or did he do the movie? I forget. Nah, he probably did the movie looking at seeing what I've seen from the trailers. I just haven't watched it yet though.
Me either.
Regardless, so asshole manager decides he's gonna stake the zombie in the heart, because that works.
Wrong movie, dude.
Well, yeah, he's well, considering he's all wondering like why this guy is even watching horror movies, even cares about horror movies. He clearly isn't going to be the type to know how to kill zombies.
But give it a couple minutes.
Yeah but regardless, the projector guy is straight up asked, like, haven't you seen George Romero's movie from 1968? He's like, no. So the zombies charge in on him and start devouring him. And scene cut to Gonza. The best scene cut. So we meet the hero of the series, Raiga Saijima, the apparent son of Koga and presumably Kaoru from the original series, considering what he's doing here is sketching his butler.
Also, given that Raiga has like an actual personality.
Yes, that too. But the best part is
he's kind of cheerful and well adjusted, and
not
at all like Koga.
Yeah, now this is not, you know, like required knowledge for the series, but it's, if you've seen the series, you can pick up on those things.
Uh huh.
Because Raiga stands on his own well enough, which is good. Though it is the best part of this scene, where Gonza's like, I don't know where you picked up your artistic skills from.
After he looks at the sketch.
And you know he's thinking, it sure as hell wasn't your mother. Regardless, Mayuri, his sidekick.
His tool.
Call her what she is. Tool.
His magic tool comes in and it has a letter from the Tribune, which is his marching orders. There's a whore out there, and gonna go kill it. Standard Garo setup.
Mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, at the theater, an epic nerd wanders up.
And of course, he forgot to tell Gonza you can stop now.
Oh yes, he did. Of course.
Gonza's really dutiful.
He is. Now you see, Koga would have
to be after 150 years of this.
Yeah, considering that he served for Taiga, then Koga, now Raiga, and he looked exactly the same in every single time.
Well, he is a Japanese dude. They don't really get old.
They don't get age until the end.
Yeah.
Regardless, see, if it was Koga, he would have actually forgotten. I think Raiga just did it on purpose.
Probably.
So anyway, Nerd Boy is apparently
Epic Nerd is right too, because
Epic Nerd is sitting down in the front row to watch the film Night of Souls, which begins. And he sounds like he's about to, you know, have. Well, he's about to.
Maybe he was expecting the other kind of movie.
I know. He's panting quite heavily. Regardless.
He's not in that good shape from the looks of it.
No. But eventually, he gets sucked into the movie with slightly sort of zombie dickhead manager, who explains with mumbling and subtitles.
It's the best sequence, too.
This shit's messed up, dude. And then it's like, hey, and you think that the nerd's gonna freak out, but no.
No,
no. No. Instead, he picks up a stick and starts stabbing zombies through the head, because that's how you kill Romero zombies.
Well, and I like, too, that the, you know, partly transformed to a zombie manager is just sitting there with his arms crossed like, oh, huh, How about that?
I should have done that. I had the opportunity to, and, well, look where I am now. And then he's also like, oh, yeah, don't let your guard down. I'll chomp. Oh, well.
Well, he's dead now.
Well, maybe not. But regardless, Raiga shows up to the projector dude, and he's like, I'm sorry, this is for employees only. Can you see yourself out? But eventually, he sucks himself into the movie. So, or not necessarily into the movie, downstairs, and then he grabs Mayuri, holds her hostage, and then...
She's good at that.
Yeah. Raiga ends up in a movie. Another movie. A post-apocalyptic-looking movie.
That's 28 days later, isn't it?
Yeah. I was getting to that, damn it.
Sorry.
he introduces that, you know, there's a bunch of different kinds of zombies, but, you know, somebody made a different kind of zombie movie, and that kind of changed things. And thus we have Runners.
Boo.
Or, not...
I'll be honest, I thought he was in I Am Legend at first.
Well,
that would have worked too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but 28 days later is kind of...
No, worked is an arguable statement with that movie.
Well,
that would have been a reference too.
So we get some nice shots of Raiga kicking everybody's ass as the runners come at him.
Raiga can survive a zombie movie.
Yeah, he can. And he doesn't get any blood on his nice white coat, too, the whole time.
What's the movie? There's no blood.
Scotch guarded it. Blood just rolls right off.
But then the nerd does come up and you know, starts to explain. These are not zombies. They are infected. They are infected by the... they've caught the rage virus, and then Raiga just walks off. he looks at him. He gives a slight nod, a smirk, and he's like, okay, bye. This is where he is much more personable than his father. Because Koga would have walked off, but he wouldn't have acknowledged the guy at all. Or mock the projectionist, which he does. And then he ends up in a nice suburban home. Popcorn's on the stove.
And when you say nice suburban home, you mean mansion by Japanese.
Yeah,
standards.
It's a palatial Japanese
mansion. Yes.
And this does really do well to look a lot like what they're trying to recreate here. Is a big 90s phone, landline phone, is ringing. And it is definitely from the 90s, maybe the 80s.
Phone is the best.
So... the projectionist presses a question. Jason uses an axe. Freddy uses claws. Leatherhead uses a chainsaw.
Face.
Leatherface.
What's that?
Leatherface.
Leatherface. What does that say?
Leatherhead is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he uses his face.
I like how he name drops all these monsters, and he's like, so what does the killer in this movie use? And then so Raiga goes, Zaraba, what is he talking about? And Zaraba's like, I don't know, I don't recognize any of those horrors. Now I'm just suddenly imagining Raiga beating the shit out of Freddy Krueger, and that's kind of the best mental image.
Yeah,
I need to see that crossover.
Crossover, bitch.
And so he asks a kitchen knife, and then the scream guy pops up. He's like, no, a Bowie knife. So he and Raiga tussle a bit. I like the bit where Raiga flips him over through the chandelier slightly, and then just knocks the lights out. But it turns out it is projectionist dude, and then we get Manager Dickhead upside down and dead again. He dies in every single way. Regardless, while the nerd almost dies, but not quite. Doesn't quite reach that point. But, you know, Raiga's unimpressed, so he's like, hey, maybe you'll enjoy an Oscar winner. Cut to a prison. And...
Shawshank Redemption?
Not quite. Dude doing his best Hannibal Lecter impersonation. Or at least trying. Yeah, he's trying.
He's trying. His best isn't good enough.
He's giving it his all, and Raiga is still just... I do like that Raiga just doesn't even say anything, but Zarba's the one that mouths off to him. Effects are not bad, but...
But your costume sucks.
Yeah. So he gets all kinds of pissed about, you know, CGI taking over for practical effects. Which
Yeah, I wonder if that's a subtle commentary on the previous series.
Well, see, Almia wouldn't be one to criticize, considering the fight we're about to have, and Garo in general. But he does strike me as the kind of person who uses the CGI because he doesn't have a choice to put forth what he wants to. If he could do everything in practical, he probably would, but he does not have the budget for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hence how you end up with, like, the last Makai Knight and Makai Senki just suddenly being CGI while everybody else is in a suit.
Yeah.
Makai Senki literally ran out of budget.
Yeah, it was very obvious.
Yes. While Darkness was obviously a much more budgeted series, even for Garo standards.
Mm-hmm.
Although Garo is actually a rather expensive series, from what I gather.
I could believe that.
At least the first two Makai Senki were. Like, the first season Makai Senki, and so far it's looking like this one. I think that Darkness was kind of a filler bit, but it still paid off well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he starts attacking Koga with Freddy Krueger's claws. And then the chainsaw. And then he just turns into a big composite movie monster in a suit. So
a practical suit.
Practical suit, which...
it doesn't look very practical. Well,
no, it doesn't.
Ha!
Which Makai no Hana has been using every episode, even when the fights only last like a minute. So that tells you they are putting a nice amount of money into that.
Or it'll just run out of, you know, actual monster suits after 10 episodes.
Probably is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Those keep reusing them.
They can borrow some Kurikages, right?
I haven't seen the next episode yet. Does Crow have a actual practical suit?
I didn't watch it yet.
Well, anyway, I just figured from the preview that's probably what's happening. Regardless, so he transforms into Garo, and suddenly it turns into a big real world. Not to be confused with the real world while we're talking about the 90s. A lot of unsubtle Amamiya commentary on the film industry and the fact that Amamiya is very clearly a horror movie fanboy. And this, you're kind of wondering the whole episode, like, are these just gonna, you know, like, make the whole horror movie horror compare? There he goes. But finally, Zaraba does something very useful and lights the entire battlefield on fire. So that, Raiga can...
Hey, if you burn up the film, they can't watch it anymore.
Exactly.
Fire sets things on fire.
Since everything is on fire, that means Raiga can light his sword on fire, which allows him to fire off his one projectile finisher.
And thankfully not setting the stuntman on fire this time.
Or running him over with a car.
Yes, but it's a very cool fight and a very cool finisher. I do. There is a nice effect in there with the way the lighting is on using an actual suit for Garo. I don't think would have been there had they been just using a CGI suit for him.
No, because the CGI is terrible.
Well, yeah. But even still, the CGI as the background with the suit actually being used is very effective, I think.
Uh-huh. It's also not, like, abnormal for a Garo anyway.
No, not at all. But it looks really... Epic Nerd is saved, and nobody else is. Because he kept narrowly escaping certain death.
I still have the theory that the manager probably could have been saved up to the point he tried to eat the Epic Nerd.
Probably. And Mayuri just walks up and is like, that was entertaining. then Zaraba just hits it all in the nose and is like, so when are you going to get your own movie? And he looks at the screen and smirks. But we know Ryuga has it next, so, you know, give me a year.
Yeah.
don't jump. Series has started. So, you know, don't jump to the conclusion just yet. And that is Makai no Hana Episode 4.
It was really great.
It was.
And actually, the Pat Labor movie, at one point, Goro's playing in it.
Wait, Pat Labor?
Pat Labor.
Okay.
Pat Labor, yes.
Yeah, the live-action movie.
Pat Labor sounds like it's like a birthing video.
So it's the same production company?
Yeah. But at one point, there's a Garo, there's Garo playing on a screen.
Awesome.
Which Garo, can you tell?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Makino Hana is picking up pretty well, I think. In the next episode, focuses on our secondary writer, I mean, Makai Knight.
Watching the first...
And some guy from Zero.
Well, but not the actor, some actor, the actor from Zero. That's important to distinguish.
Hello, cat.
That's not important to distinguish. Watching the first three episodes of Makai no Hana, like, it does just feel like the first two series again with a facelift.
Yeah, a little bit. Which I think is what they're going for.
Yeah, I think it is. Like,
which I don't mind necessarily, because I like darkness, but, you know.
Yeah, I like darkness for, like, changing things up. Mm-hmm. But they're doing really well recapturing the feel of the first two.
But with
so
a
far.
Different feel at the same time, because Raiga is a very different character from either Ryuga or Koga. And mm-hmm. I have not f***ed up any of their names this whole episode. I'm good. I'm glad.
You f***ed up that sentence pretty well, though, so good on you.
I did!
But up to that point, he was doing
it's
great!
A very fine balancing act.
I have not f***ed up their names like I kept doing for the entire series last year, and when we did Makai Senki a few months ago.
Yeah.
We did Makai Senki a few months ago?
Episode
the
3.
Motorcycle episode?
Was Paladin here?
He was here.
I have absolutely no memory.
Lord.
Are you sure Paladin was here?
I thought that was XB's job. When is Paladin never not here?
Well, I probably won't be here next week, to be honest.
Why?
Oh, I have some traveling that I need to be gone for.
Oh, what are you doing?
You have to marry a hooker, don't you?
The slight pause and the apprehensive tone.
What's up, Paladin?
I'm just going on vacation for a few days.
Oh, that's less interesting.
He has to go return some video cassettes.
Anime. He has to go find the one.
$60 a piece.
He has to go find the one Blockbuster still in operation.
That reminds me. I need to make a copy of the Toei Super. Of the super video for Zoo Ranger order form that I have in this one issue of Televicon that I have, scan it, send it, copy it, have someone who lives in Japan send it in and see what happens.
So I'm surprised we started late. We have four episodes, and yet it's only 10 o'clock.
That's because we didn't do any news. Because I wouldn't let Paladin
talk about.
I wouldn't let Paladin talk about two of the three things he decided to talk about.
Yeah, one of those things I didn't want to talk about anyway.
Well, neither did I. That's why I cut him off. And the Kikaider thing I did because it was funny.
It was more entertaining than talking about Kikaider.
Yeah. Hey, guess what we're never doing is
we'll
power
have to
playback.
Cover that movie eventually.
No, guess what we're never doing for power playback.
Unless it actually happens to be good, which...
No, it's Kikaider.
That kind of like the anime series?
Eh.
A little bit.
Eh.
Sort of.
No.
Hmm.
No.
Nope. You're wrong. You didn't like it.
We're wingusing you again.
I like that's a verb now.
Wingusing.
Too bad he never listens anymore to hear it.
That's fine, I'm telling him about it right now.
Oh, okay. Tell him to be on the show sometime.
Are you going to have the video with the spider with the Go-Onger theme ready?
Why doesn't he like us? I don't understand.
I can't figure it out for the life of me.
We ruin the movie, we get songs stuck in his head, and spiders, and...
The entire point of that was associating the Go-Onger
theme
with spiders.
I know. What's not to like? I mean, we're awesome. Now, speaking of, what are we doing for Power Playback next week?
Makai no Hana episode 5?
Well, do you guys want to, like, skip Power Playback for a few weeks and give new Garo a role?
Sure.
Sure. It means we don't have to spend time figuring out what to do.
But we lose so much padding from the show that way. We're not even up to an hour and a half yet. Although we could spend some time listening to Ken choke to death.
You're welcome.
Oh, Paladin was supposed to be coughing.
Yeah, Ken, you're screwing up the rolls here.
Woo!
I think that's why he's coughing, actually.
Well, Paladin's forgetting things.
So he's turning into XP.
But Paladin's always been a dick. Granted, he hasn't graduated to being dicks plural like I am, but he's trying.
Dicks plural sounds like some kind of fancy secret agent.
Huh. And actually, Paladin was Fort Maxing earlier, too.
I didn't hear it.
Did you even hear what I said?
Who are you again?
Could Paladin's, like, microphone failures be a form of Mickeying?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, so... I think
he's becoming composite superhero time.
Let me go open TweetDeck again. Yes, this is the thrilling podcasting where I tweet live in the recording.
Simultaneous broadcast. Now go cook that tuna.
So yeah, I guess we'll give Garo a spin for a little while and at least not to worry about picking things, because it's all established before us.
What movie are you ruining for who now?
Oh, that was Wingus.
And what's bad is he knows exactly what I mean.
Well, you could tell him last week we made you hate the Kyuryuger versus GoBusters even more than you already did.
Yay, I'm a verb.
Yeah, I missed the end of that. I'm sorry for that.
Well, you kind of had a tornado thing going on, so...
The moral of the story is that the Kyuryugers are kind of terrible.
You missed nothing except my hatred and vitriol.
It wasn't as entertaining as it sounded.
But no, you're always full of vitriol. You're like a vitriolic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, can't he, like, go into rehab for that?
Only if you want to stop.
So, how can we fill out the show this week? Without power playback picking, too.
I don't know, since you won't let us talk about...
Just bleep it. This is long bleep.
Yeah, going on to, like, right now.
Yes, exactly.
Just bleep out everything Paladin said all episode long as punishment.
Do you have any idea how much work that would be?
Even to take your summary?
Yes.
It would be a mile off work, but would it be worth it, is the question.
I'd
be afraid if I actually thought you went to that much effort.
I almost want to do that. Like A, just A, just
bonus track.
Like A, just to prove you wrong, and B.
I would actually listen that week. I mean, I'll take that the wrong way.
So don't take it as you hate the show and never listen to it.
I hate the sound of my own voice and not listen to it. That's why I listen to the show if I'm not on it.
To be fair, you're not even close to being the most objectionable voice on the show. I think of who we have, Mickey is currently best voice.
Yeah.
And that's Cylon.
Not all the time.
That's the best part.
less than normal lately, I think.
I got a new computer, so that's it.
Yeah, you've just been catching it.
Also, Mickey, you should probably try updating your Skype so you can actually, like, have video when you're on RFC.
I don't like updating programs. That tends to break them more frequently than fix them.
That's often true, especially considering Skype is owned by Microsoft and he has a Mac.
Well, fine. Get David's computer and do it from that.
And besides, Actually, you know, I could try and use the laptop, but the problem is I don't remember what my Skype password is.
Oh, you can go to the website.
Like RFC would be improved with butts, you know.
You can go.
It probably would, honestly.
It was that 1 week. It was that 1 week we were doing it.
Yeah, I know. And then I forgot my password. And
no, you can go on the Skype website and recover it.
I don't know. That's a lot of typing and clicking on links.
Make a new Skype account.
I did that once already.
Yeah, but you don't use that one anymore because you got back into your old one.
And I forgot how to log into that one, too.
Well, just make a new Skype account every week.
But I'll run out of Skypes.
Just sign up for a few Gmail addresses. You'll never run out of logins.
But I'm running out of Gmail invites.
I think I still have a few thousand. Yeah, I remember being like really eager to find someone who could give me a Gmail invite back in like 2003.
Mm-hmm. I think I won a website contest for mine.
Somebody on the Gundam message board I modded for got early Gmail access and gave me an invite.
And I think it was on like a Toon Zone forum or something.
That sounds dirty.
It does.
It is.
Not that kind of dirty, but still makes me feel unclean. It's kind of the TFW unclean, though, for reference.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Unclean is still unclean.
Yes.
The blood won't come off.
It's Toku news site unclean.
That's why you need to get the Scotch guard that Raiga has for his jacket.
Can you just, like, coat your hands in Scotch guard and never have to wash them?
That's inspired.
Now, when you say Toku News site unclean, is this, like, Henshin Justice unclean or JE Fusion unclean?
Toku News site unclean.
They're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
They all devolve into the same stupidity. The exact same stupidity.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. There needs
what forum doesn't?
Claim threads.
For 15-year-olds.
What's a claim thread?
Oh, God, no. I have not explained this.
Okay, so, like, you know how everybody pervs out on the young Pink Ranger every season? Every Sentai series? So a typical practice on Toku message boards is for there to be like one all-encompassing thread where people can claim every year their, you know, their waifu.
Yeah. And they take it kind of seriously, too.
They do. Now, you know, I try to look at this a little bit charitably and assume that most of the people doing this are themselves, you know, 14 to 17 years old.
That's a little too charitable, I think.
But, you know, we still know there's a large number of them in their 30s doing the same thing. Sometimes admins.
I was about to say, but you beat me to it.
That's so very, very sad.
It is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. People wondered why Kiryu Pink's actress didn't have, like, a blog or anything.
Now you know.
Well, I knew
because she wasn't smart enough to write.
No?
Sure.
No, I think it's because she was smart enough to not want to get involved with the fandom even in Japan.
She saw how Sakamoto shot her.
Oh, like there's a Sentai fandom in Japan.
Well, there's like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah, they just aren't buying the figure arts.
Yeah. Yeah, they just want the robots.
Or the girls.
It's because they just hot glue them and then return them.
No, they hot glue them and sell them to Mandarake. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes they just hot glue the packaging. They don't even actually open them. That's how you get all the factory sealed ones.
That's
cheap.
That's so lazy.
Well, it keeps the resale value the highest.
Oh,
so they can go fight.
Is that like safe sex for hot gluing if you leave the packaging on?
Oh, that must be it. That must be it.
Because you don't want to get your figure out waifu pregnant.
Because then you can get the next person who gets it can open it and have it still be clean. That makes perfect sense.
For more on that, consult Giga Beetle.
Or, you know, don't, because... Don't. Did we ever get any more details on Giga Beetle and the grits?
He tried them and he said they were kind of good.
No.
Well, that's better than we usually get out of a food project for him.
Slightly anticlimactic.
No, I wouldn't. Usually he gives us pictures.
Yeah, but there's not really much to see with grits.
I'm guessing it wasn't interesting enough one way or the other to do a good presentation on.
Remember the time we
kind of like grits in general, now that I think about it.
Remember the time we had him do the avocado and...
Soy sauce, was it?
Yeah, the simulated seed.
You have like a list of the stuff we've made him eat somewhere.
So we don't like go into reruns. Well, technically there is a list if you go through like all of the episode posts, because the results were always posted.
But that takes so much effort.
It does. No, I mean, there probably should be, like, a Giga Beetle collection, but effort.
Like a hardback coffee table book.
I probably have all the image files he sent in the podcast directory anyway. It'd be easy enough to just grab all those and make a new page for them. I'm not going to do it, but it'd be pretty easy.
It would occupy you for an hour, though.
Well, it still takes effort, though, and it's not, like, fun effort.
Oh. Okay.
It's just effort. It's boring effort, like dull tedium.
But not fun effort like pooping.
Right. Yes, JD taught me what fun pooping was.
It's when the hard turd rubs across your prostate.
JD took such joy in his poop.
And now I take joy in his poop in his honor.
Yes. See, now JD was the best voice on the show when we had him.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us can question that.
No.
Yeah, that crossed my mind when you said currently. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought for a moment he might have been referring to, you know, TFG1 Mike, but, you know, then I realized no, it was probably JD.
No, because because the best voice on the show that week was Fort Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so next week, no power playback, because we're going to start doing Garo in its place, because we're lazy and we kind of like Garo. And this gives Mickey a whole week to watch 3 episodes of Garo to catch up. If he
Can
feels
I
the,
do it? Dodgers!
If he feels the need to. You probably don't really need to.
3 episodes.
Yes, but...
Well, the first like one's okay, at least.
But Mickey's very busy.
He has typewriters to use.
Well, not on his day off, he doesn't. Yeah, Mickey, spend your whole day off tomorrow watching Garo.
I've got doctors to visit.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, well, spend half your day tomorrow watching Garo.
Half his day is an hour?
Yes.
Doctor about the nose cancer, or...
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. The internet diagnosed me. So, you know,
tomorrow's the doctor to find out whether you have nose cancer.
Right.
Right.
Tomorrow's a $60 doctor visit to tell me that, oh, you scratched your nose on a piece of plywood.
Oh. And now you have tetanus.
Yep. I played tetanus once. I was very good at it.
No wonder your mouth won't open very far anymore.
I was trying to make a blowjob joke, but I couldn't think of anything. Sorry.
What a waste of effort.
I know.
Of course.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm drinking.
What are you drinking?
Peach vodka mixed with carbonated lemonade.
How's that working out? Because peach and lemonade doesn't seem like it would be...
Peach and lemon goes great together, just as at Rioma and America.
Well, by that logic, everything goes with orange.
Didn't we already know this?
Somehow I don't think orange and cherry would really work as a mix.
Yeah, it does. That's what gives you game fuel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's orange and cherry mixed.
Release that again.
Next Halo game that comes out, probably. Isn't that when they always release game fuel when a new Halo game hits?
No, yep. Once it was World of Warcraft.
Oh. Well, so the next time the next time somebody wants to pay them money for the cross marketing, they'll release game fuel again.
Maybe we'll get it for Destiny.
I'm just glad I can still go get Mountain Dew Livewire in 20-ounce bottles at like gas stations and grocery stores around here.
We've got that in cans and bottles up here.
Well, we used to have like the 12-packs and the 2-liter bottles years ago, but that's kind of fallen off. Do any of you have Cherry RC? Well, I know Mickey doesn't because I tried to buy some there in January.
I found some at a Rite Aid not too long ago, though.
I think we have a Rite Aid in town here. I'll have to take a look.
I think I've seen them around here.
Like recently, or?
I don't know. I haven't. I've never really looked for it either, so.
That's because you've never done grocery shopping, have you, Fort Max?
I have.
Somehow I'm surprised
with
by
your
that.
Mom or without?
Without. Like when I, living on campus at college.
You lived on campus?
Yep.
For some reason, I was under the impression you went home every night.
He probably went home every night when he lived on campus, too. Just his home was on campus.
On UT Dallas didn't have dorms, but they had on-campus apartments for whatever reason.
Did you podcast from there?
No.
On-campus slums. That's what I lived in Nashville.
But yeah, the grocery stores around here don't have Cherry RC anymore. It makes me sad. It's like my favorite soda.
I wish I could find more of the Rockstar Sour Apples.
Oh, and Mickey, remember the malt Mountain Dew stuff we were talking about before?
Yeah.
So apparently that vanished like a few weeks before I came down there, and it's never turned back up.
Sadness.
Yeah, I never got to try it either. You know, the spot it was in the store had been replaced with the Mountain Dew Kickstart.
Ugh, that shit is vile.
Yeah.
That energy drink shit?
Yeah, I've had a couple of the flavors. They weren't very good.
They taste like fruit-flavored piss.
Well, that satisfies my curiosity.
Well, on a related note, apparently they're releasing Baja Blast in stores over the summer.
Shit, yes.
That's the grape one, right?
That's the one that's exclusive to Taco Bell for some goddamn reason.
Right, that's the grape flavor, isn't it?
No, it's lime.
No, grape is pitch black.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to try that.
Grape is pitch black.
Okay, pitch black is already available in stores.
Too.
Yeah, I might have to try the Baja, because I like lime. So how long do we have to wait for the sangria one to go to stores?
Probably another 6 years.
I guess I need to come down and visit again so we can go to Taco Bell and I can get some more of that.
I'm pretty sure there's Taco Bells closer to you, but I'm all for you coming down to visit again.
No, there is Taco Bells closer, but yours I don't know are, you know, verifiably filthy inside.
Oh, okay.
From my own first-hand accounts. So that's kind of the issue there. And, you know, anytime I go to Nashville, there's places I want to eat a lot more than Taco Bell. At least down there, I don't have a Jack in the Box to compete with.
Yeah.
Of course, by that note, you should probably just come up to Nashville sometime. We can have, you know, B-grade buffet sushi, and you can get some tacos on the way back.
B-grade taco sushi.
Okay, so what would taco sushi be?
Bless you.
Terrible nightmarish diarrhea.
No, that's just Taco Bell.
It's true.
Well, it'd be maybe Mexican rice in a roll.
That could be...
Ground beef instead of fish.
Raw ground beef?
Yes.
If I was grinding it myself, I might be okay with that.
Lettuce instead of seaweed.
If you use the right kind of lettuce, yeah, I think that could work. Because I already do, like, lettuce wrap stuff.
And their quesadilla sauce instead of white sauce.
What would you use instead of wasabi?
I guess salsa verde, but like, with jalapenos in it.
Or maybe just make, like, jalapeno paste.
Yeah.
Remember, only use a little bit. If it wasn't so much work, I'd actually try doing that. But that's a lot of different things to buy and prepare and do. Even making homemade tacos is kind of a pain. Because I'll spend like half an hour just putting together my one plate of tacos. After cooking it all, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain in the ass. I need a whole assembly line like Taco Bell has. You know, I need unskilled, underpaid workers to put my meals together for me.
Just scrape the meat off the floor and fill your burrito with it.
Like Taco Bell. What was that thing I got last time? The,
E. coli?
No, the big flat round thing.
Oh, the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah, that was really good. Have you tried any of their breakfast stuff yet?
No, because I value life. I don't want to feel sad in the morning. I've got a feeling a soggy waffle with sausage shoved in it would not get me ready to face the day at work.
Well, they have some kind of breakfast version of the Crunchwrap. One of them has bacon in it.
Yeah, that could be okay.
Like bacon and egg. And it's bacon, egg, and hash brown inside a Crunchwrap.
The thing is, I could just go to Hardee's, get all that, plus biscuit.
That's true. I mean, I can't really argue with that. No, it's more like the novelty value, I think.
Speaking of Hardee's, have you seen their X-Men commercials?
I saw a Colossus one yesterday.
That one's the worst, but the Quicksilver one's almost as bad.
I don't think I've seen that one. To be fair, though, Hardee's has bad commercials in general.
True.
Which is probably why, you know, around here there's like 5 in a 300 square mile area. Very low population density of Hardee's.
And Hardee's doesn't exist here anymore.
Give Carl's Jr.?
No.
Okay.
You ever heard of Five Guys?
Yep.
Mickey, well, Ken has too, because multiple men.
I love eating Five Guys.
Hey,
for
you got it.
It took him a minute to pay attention, though.
He was tuning us out because we were talking about food.
No, well, quite possibly. Or he was chatting with Wingus about how horrible we are.
This motherfucker's talking about food. God, I hate them.
Yeah,
I hate them so much.
We're ruining food for him now, too.
So what can you ruin next?
I keep trying to ruin RFC, but I don't think it's working.
Well, it's okay, because next time you're on, I'll be on, and we can tag team it.
Hell yeah. We'll make Kill our bitch.
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.